Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Hallelujah. The word of God for our consideration this Easter morn is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, beginning with verse 19. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are to be pitied more than all men. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive, but each in his own turn. Christ, the firstfruits, then when he comes, those who belong to him. Then the end will come, when he hands over the kingdom to God the Father, after he has destroyed all dominion, authority, and power. For he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. This is the word of our God. In his name, dear brothers and sisters. A professor once said that the Bible is like a great mine filled with precious jewels and gems, filled with precious diamonds, just waiting to be found and appreciated and treasured. You can spend your entire life going through this mine of Scripture, of the Bible, and you'll continue to find new jewels, new gems, new diamonds. And I agree with that. But to extend that picture out just a little bit more, if that's true of all of Scripture, then I would say the Apostles' Creed, which is a summary of what Scripture says, is almost like an exhibit at a museum displaying fine diamonds and jewels that have already been found. The Apostles' Creed, in one statement after another, is talking about some kind of diamond or jewel or beautiful truth from God. And each and every statement in the Apostles' Creed could be an entire sermon on itself. Do not be afraid. I'm not going to try that this morning. But each statement is like a jewel, describing some profound truth of God's love. But as we get to the end of the Apostles' Creed, this statement summarizing what the Bible teaches that Christians have been saying for almost 2,000 years, that millions of Christians are saying around the world on this very day. So we get to the end of that creed. We get what might be described as almost the crown jewel of Christianity. It says that we believe in the resurrection of the body and the life everlasting. We might say that's the crown jewel of Christianity, a diamond of priceless worth, eternal life, resurrection. It's what we're celebrating today. It's what changes our life now and forever. In the year 1905, a man by the name of Frederick Wells had a life-changing experience. He was underground in a mining shaft on a routine inspection of the mine that he supervised. And as he walked along the dark path, something shiny caught his eye, sticking out of the rock wall above him. He couldn't quite see what it was, so he climbed up, and he took out his pocket knife, and he started hacking around, and he pulled out this big shiny thing, and he held it in his hands, and it was heavy. And he thought, what if? What if this is the real deal? You see, he was walking through the premier diamond mine in South Africa. And he thought, what if this is what it might be? But he thought, no, that's too good to be true. There's no way it would be unbelievable for this to be the real thing, a diamond. So he went back above ground. He went back to the headquarters, to the office. He showed it to the clerks. And the clerks looked at it. Do you know what they did? They threw it out the window because they looked at it and said, there's no way that this could be a diamond. This is crystal, and crystal is nice, and it's pretty fine, but we can find crystal all over the place. Don't waste our time with this. We have more important matters to attend to. Fortunately, they had second thoughts about that decision, and they picked this thing up again, this shiny piece of something, and they inspected it more closely, and they showed it to their supervisors, and they inspected it again and again and again, and they discovered that the unbelievable was true. It wasn't crystal. It was diamond. A huge diamond. A bigger diamond than they had ever seen. How big was the diamond, Pastor? I'm glad you asked. This diamond was 3,106 carats. 3,106 carat diamond is what Frederick Wells found in that cave. Far and away the largest diamond ever discovered. What an epic fail that would have been if they had chucked it out like it was cheap crystal. Thank God that they realized what it was. But such an epic fail wouldn't even compare with the epic fail, the loss of treasure that you and I would have if we don't believe that diamond of a statement, the resurrection and the life. We believe in the resurrection and the life. This is a gem, a jewel that God is giving to you and I that goes beyond any of the world's greatest treasures. And one of the reasons it is such a gem and jewel is because, unlike a big diamond, which is nice but not necessarily needed, no matter what you might think, we need the resurrection. Because we were born with a very big problem. Paul mentioned it in our text in verse 21. He said, for since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead also comes through a man. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. Those few words hold in them all the sorrow and tragedy of the human existence and all the triumph and glory that God has given us. But Paul's point is simple. When our first father, Adam, sinned, he brought sin to the earth and he brought death as well. When he sinned by eating from a tree that God had commanded him not to eat from, and our first mother, Eve, did the same thing, sin was introduced to the world. When they did not listen to the clear word of God, when they decided to listen to their own reason, emotion, or desires above God's clear word, sin came. And the issue wasn't so much about the fruit that they ate, but about the faithlessness that they exhibited, not listening to God's clear word and obeying them. They were sinful, and they have passed that down. What comes from apple trees? Apples, right? What comes from sinful parents? Sinful children. And so you were born sinful too. But here's the disturbing news. This sinful condition isn't just like a latent condition. It's not just some latent strand of DNA that's in there somewhere, some genetic thing that's never really going to come out. Let's be honest. We show our sin in many ways, even from early on. Earlier this morning, I got through the most stressful part of Easter morning for me personally, supervising the Easter egg hunt. I'm always scared that we're going to have some kind of trampling incident, screaming, crying, I don't know. But our children, the good children of Trinity Lutheran Church, exhibited fine behavior, I believe, and I don't think there was any biting, scratching, clawing, kicking, and no one was thrown over the fence. So I'm very happy about that. Good Easter feelings continue, but if you ever watch children, you notice it doesn't take too long, even in those cute little cherubs, for that sin that you gave them, Mom and Dad, to show itself. Put two toddlers in a room with one toy. What happens sometimes? These little angelic cherubs that can't even mouth audible, intelligible words will make sounds like this.
Ha!
Ha! And they're going at this one toy. Now, who taught them to do that? Did they go to coveting camp? Do you read them stories like Goodnight Sinner? No. It's in them, and they got it from you, and they show it right from the beginning. And it keeps on going from there, doesn't it? We show it throughout our entire lives, from toddler to teen, to mom and dad who say, do what I say, but don't necessarily do what I do. And even into older times in life, older ages where we should be filled with wisdom and peace and scripture, but instead hearts can be filled with anxiety and pessimism and bitterness. Oh, we know that sin. We see it in our own thoughts, words, and actions. We see it in the people of those around us. And that's not the only thing we got from our dad, Adam, and our mom, Eve. Death came right with it. In Adam, all die. Every hour, every minute, every second, you are getting closer to an inevitable thing that you can't stop, death. And it doesn't matter how many supplements you take, and it doesn't matter who your trainer is. It's coming, and you can't stop it. Sin and death, that's what you have, which is what makes what Jesus did so wonderful. He came in this earth as a real human, real God at the same time, and he lived perfectly from birth to toddler, to teen, to death. Perfectly. In your place. And he gives what he did to you. He puts that over you. And then on the cross, he died for every sin that you've ever committed. From age 1 to 101. They were all nailed there. He died for them all, and he proclaimed, "It is finished." And then he went down in a dark cave. He went into the cave of death. And on the third day, he rose again from the dead, giving you forgiveness and life. A gift that the world cannot compare to with anything that it gives. You who would die will now live forever. Sons and daughters of Adam and Eve, you are now sons and daughters of God. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. But each in his own turn. Christ, the first fruits. Then when he comes, those who belong to him. The day that Jesus rose from the dead was a very special day in the Jewish calendar. It was the festival of the first fruits. This was a time when things would just be budding and growing. And so to say thank you to God for that and to look ahead and forward to more harvest to come, you'd take a sheaf of grain, a little bundle of grain, and you'd bring it to the temple. You'd bring it to God. You'd burn it up. And in so doing, you'd be saying, God, I thank you for the life that you're beginning to give, and I trust you. It was a time that there wasn't a lot growing, but you're saying, God, I trust you. That there's going to be more to come. There's going to be more that's going to grow, and you're going to provide for us. So how amazing that on this day, Jesus rises from the dead. The first fruits of those who believe. What does that mean? It means that this resurrection from the dead thing doesn't stop with Jesus. He did it. He was the first, but more is coming. More are going to rise from the dead. You're going to rise from the dead. And he guarantees it on Easter by rising himself. And that is going to be a historical fact just as his resurrection was. You will rise from the dead. And we won't just remember you in our thoughts and in our heart. But God will remember you and you will live forever with him in heaven. This is true. And this is real. This is for you. Okay. So you have a 3,106 carat stone, diamond. And they're going to take it now from South Africa to England. And they're going to put it on a boat. And a lot of people are getting very nervous about this journey. Why? Well, you're taking the most precious jewel in the world on a boat, and everyone knows it, and so all the people who want it, who are not nice people, the bad guys, might try to steal it. The boat was filled with security, and everyone was on high alert, and the world watched, anxious, wondering if this great diamond is going to make it to England safely. But do you know what the truth was? The diamond wasn't on the boat. A copy was. Do you know how they got the diamond to England? They sent it in the mail. Parcel post. Wrapped in a common brown wrapping so that no one would really know about it. It would keep the thieves away. But how incredible! How many hands did that pass through and they didn't even know what they had? The world's greatest diamond was right there, but they didn't know it because it didn't look like much on the outside. We believe in the resurrection of the dead, the life everlasting. It's the greatest gem we could ever have, but it might not look like much on the outside. It's just some words. It's just from a book. But don't let the appearances deceive you, brothers and sisters. Even though the words might sound simple, just coming from an old book that people call the Bible, understand that the gift is real. The jewel is genuine. You really will rise from the dead, and every word that God has ever said in Scripture will come true, including this. Jesus' promise is not empty because his tomb is. The diamond makes it safely there, and they begin to cut it into segments. This is what jewelers do. They cut it into 9 major gems, 91 brilliance. The biggest piece became the largest clear-cut diamond in existence. They named it the Star of Africa. In its finished state, it is a diamond of 530 carats. Not bad. You can go and see the Star of Africa today in the Tower of London. It is part of the crown jewels, those jewels that belong to the House of Windsor. And you will see this diamond, the Star of Africa, whenever Prince Charles becomes king. Because when he does, during the coronation ceremony, you'll see the Star of Africa at the tip of the sovereign scepter in his right hand that he will hold for the ceremony. The worth of the Star of Africa has been estimated at more than $1 billion. Do you know how much the royal family paid for it? Nothing. Zero. It was presented to the King of England on his 66th birthday as a gift. I got excited when I was getting gift cards to Cabela's for my birthday. Wow! What a gift, free of charge. The Son of God descended into darkness and rose again with resurrection and life. And here comes the most amazing part. He gives it to you for free. It's a gift. In fact, there is nothing you could do to earn this or to deserve it. And please, don't disgrace this gift by pretending that you can. Don't think that your good works and your good deeds and your good intentions are what really gets you this gift. Don't think that you chose to get it and that you are just a little bit better than other people. No! What makes this gift so amazing is you and I couldn't earn it or deserve it or buy it. Or begged for it on our own, but he gave us what we could never afford on our own. He gives it free of charge, and that is a miracle of miracles. That God in his amazing grace would see you and I caught and trapped in the depth of sin, heading to death and heading to hell and saying, no, I will go there in your place so that you will live forever with me, and you will have this gift and this certainty that one day the end will come, and this is what will happen. When he hands over the kingdom to God the Father, after he has destroyed all dominion, authority, and power, for he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet, the last enemy to be destroyed is death. Yes, one day you will die, and your body will go into the ground. Your soul will be with God in heaven, but when Jesus comes back, he will reunite your body and your soul together. You will have a physical resurrection from the dead, and you will be with God forever in heaven. Can you even imagine what kind of a gift that will be? You will not just be floating on a cloud, playing a harp as some spirit orb. You will not be singing endless verses of endless hymns in an endless church service like some people imagine heaven. No, you will be soul and body united together forever. And at that time, you will not need contacts, and you will not have cataracts, and you will not have a bum knee or a broken back. You will have no more pains or pressures or problems or sin. You will really be alive forever in the presence of Jesus, and those who have died in the Lord will be there too. You will see Grandma and Grandpa again. You will see Mom and Dad. You will see your brother. You will see your sister. You will again see your child. And you will be there forever, perfect, in the resurrection joy. And you will see Jesus. And his hands will be above you in blessing. You will see him with your own flesh, with your own eyes. And you will bask in the radiance and glory of this treasure forever. That's what he gave to you by his life, death, and resurrection. That is yours. And no one can take that treasure away from you. If you believe this, then please respond to me when I say this to you. He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Hallelujah. Amen.